Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night.
Yeah, every night.
And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Nope.
Summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Sick.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No,
I don't care. Headed my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Budget Live, not so live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful southern middle Tennessee. And I hope all you low lifers are doing well out there. This is the podcast for Monday, February the 13th. And if you're just tuning in for the first time and you're wondering why I insulted you or you're feeling insulted by being called a low lifer, it's a term of endearment around here. It's what the listeners of this program refer to themselves as. So welcome to the Low Life. And if you heard that, there, February 13th, I hope wherever you're sitting, listening, watching this, if it is indeed on Monday, February the 13th, that you got your lady something. You heard me. Get your lady something. Valentine's Day is a tricky one, right? Because we go all in at Christmas, and through all the years of doing the show, you know, you hear me talk about how bad I am at Christmas. And then we get set up to fail. For Valentine's Day, just right around the corner in February, you got to come up with something. You got to get a little chocolate. You got to get some dinner reservations. You got to get some balloon animals. I don't know. Whatever your lady's into. Chocolate dipped strawberries are my move. Because no matter where I'm at in the country, I can get on a website and I can send them. They send them on dry ice. I've never even seen them, okay? But I set that precedent about 10 years ago with the Triple Threat. And it's a move, fellas. It's a move. And no, I don't have a sponsor plug for them. You can get them some LOB jigs at Baitworks, too. Use code Duncan-10. But, or some Pro Guy batteries, even. But those chocolate dip strawberries are the move. They show up. Send them to them at work. Send them to them at work. But if you ever start that, don't stop. Because there's been a couple years where I've either ran late getting them ordered and they show up late. Or there's a little bit of worry that comes along with it. So I'm absent-minded, which y'all all know. And make sure if you ever start something like that, that you can damn sure finish it. But it's here. It's here. We probably need that. What's that? Yeah, this one. Valentine's Day. Seriously, don't mess that up. Fishing season is here, starting to warm up in a lot of the country, a little bit. You know, this is the time of year where I start thinking about it more and more and more. January, even though I fished that ABT 100, unless I'm in Florida in January, I'm over it. I fished this week at home, and it's brutal. It's brutal out there right now. It's a lot of bait. It's typical. A lot of fish piled up around bait and don't want to eat. They got lots of real ones to eat, so they're ignoring your stuff. But you know, it's that time of year where you're going to start thinking you're going to be wanting to go turkey hunting. You're going to be wanting to go do some stuff here pretty soon. Deer season's over. Get your honeydews done right now. It's fishing season. Get you some chocolate dip strawberries. Send them some roses. Do something nice for them. All right, that's my PSA of the week. Got to thank the sponsors of this program real fast. Startron, Starbright, kicking ethanol in the teeth and keeping your boat clean with the Starbright cleaning products. Fine people down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Ethanol, however, is not fine. It will gum up the works. In your outboard engine, in your chainsaw, in your weed eater, in your lawnmower, which I wouldn't mind. I hate my damn lawnmower. But ethanol is in all of our gas. Unless you're buying ethanol-free gas, then you're going to have some ethanol in there. And then you're going to be paying too much at the pump. We're already paying too much. So get you some Startron. A little dab will do you. It'll kick it in the teeth. Get it out of there. Make sure you don't have stupid, dumb ethanol messing up your life We appreciate the folks from Startron. Star Bright bringing you LBL Pro Guide batteries. Got to stretch them bad boys out this week. And some stupid wind trying to fish in the old X21. Those lithium batteries from Pro Guide on the trolling motor side. I'm running them this year. They're fantastic. That 31 series AGM cranking battery is money. It's also money for a trolling motor battery. If you don't want to stretch out and get those lithiums, get you some of those. I ran them last year. They're fantastic. You can use code LBL10 at ProGuideBatteries.com to let them know you are a low lifer. Baitworks.com. I'm mumble mouth today. Baitworks.com. Bait-works.com. That LOB jig. I finally got my shipment of them in, of the actual production models. And, man, so pumped about that still. Be sure to go check them out. I know some of y'all are starting to think about getting on the water. I'm seeing y'all. Tag me. If you go by any, tag me on social media. I like seeing it. I want to share it. It makes me proud, man. And it, damn sure when you start getting bit on it, tag me in some fish pictures too. I want to share those as well this year. But you can get those LOBs. I'm going to do a video of the color selection and everything this week, hopefully, to show you the colors in detail. Post that on the YouTube channel, all social media. Just kind of real proud of the colors. We got some more colors coming, but I'm real proud of the original six that I designed and kind of hand-tied for them, and they mimicked them perfectly, and it's just really cool to see. So you can use code Duncan-10 at baitworks.com, bait-works.com, Duncan-10 to get, I mean, they got it. They got it, and they'll get it to you. That's the overwhelming thing you hear about Baitworks the most. Just don't order it if you don't want it. All right, baitworks.com. Get your wife some jigs. Last but not least, hang the banner. A lot of people give me crap over this banner, and I want to say for the record, if it looks like it's crooked, it's not. It's most of the time it's the camera. But this is the Bassmaster Classic winning Bassmaster Classic banner hanging Express X21 Pro all welded aluminum boat, bow to stern, 250 Yamaha show on the back of that bad boy, sea deck bow to stern as well. Massive amounts of tackle storage, massive live wells, great hole shot. Absolutely love my. Every time I get in, I just smile. I just ride around like, hey, I don't even fish. I just ride around more times than not. Love that freaking boat, man. So grateful to be in an Express boat. But get off me about the banner. My buddy Fat Cat, he's always like, we got to change up your look. And I would like to do something different. Y'all comment on this if you're still listening. I do kind of want to change the look of the show. I'm messing around with different cameras and things, and I'm kind of bored sitting at the bar and grill. I'll be honest. I want to change it up a little bit. So the banner may go, and we may be doing something different to represent good old Express here on Low Budget Live. But one thing is for sure, Express Boats, building excitement since 1966. We're doing a live podcast in the Express Boats booth at the Bassmaster Classic. We're also going to do one hell of an LBL party at the Classic. Details to come on that, working on that still. But one thing is for sure, Express Boats booth, Bassmaster Classic, throwing down big old massive live podcast. That's where you can catch it at the Classic. All right, moving on. Here we go. Bass Pro Tour is back this week. The Bassmaster Elite Series are back this week. We got live action, baby. Had some live action last week. Got to give a huge shout out to an old buddy of mine. I'm going to try to get him on here in the next couple weeks. Joshua Weaver, which is very professional sounding, but old Weavy, got a big win down there at Okeechobee in the first invitational of the year. Long, long time coming for that boy. I fished as a co-angler against Josh back in the day. Great dude, great family, his dad, his brother Daniel, some of my favorite folks I've ever been around in the fishing world. So I was grinning ear to ear whenever he dropped 31 pounds on him on day two, and then he had like 26-something on the last day to take it home and blow the thing out, man. He's had some great success down in Florida, but just a good dude. And, I talk about that a lot. It's one of my favorite things about the fishing industry is just the folks you meet over the years, and whether it's you lowlifers or people I've competed against and that I'm very fortunate to call friends, that it's awesome to see, man, because you know how much work they put in and they're obsessed with it, which I say a lot, but they're obsessed with this dream, with this goal, and it was just really cool to see him finally hoist that trophy. He's been close many times, got a big Toyota win a few years ago, but he – he's on a roll, man. He will it'll be hard to handle this year. He might win Angler of the Year, and that I would not doubt. Josh is a very consistent angler, but had a lot of success as a co-angler, and just very happy for him and his family. Josh Weaver, so congrats, little buddy, on that. But yeah, live fishing started back last week. Fantastic. And gosh, man, so great. And not to be blocking about this, but it's so great just watching old school bass fishing. Chatterbait and swim jigging, braid singing. Damn, boy, give me some of that. Inject that in my veins. Y'all can all have, I mean, I love LiveScope. I'm a Garmin guy. Y'all know that. I'm all about that life. That's fine. I understand where we're at as a sport. But damn, boy, if you told me, now this is no joke, and people may laugh, if you told me I could catch a 10-pounder looking at it on LiveScope, or catch a 10-pounder flipping a bush or throwing a buzzbait, like, that's how I want to catch a 10-pounder. Now, I want to catch a 10-pounder anyway. They'll bite, too, now. You know, I don't. Full disclosure, but if the good Lord came down and said, Luke Duncan, you can pick how you want to catch your personal best bass, I'd be like, you see them lily pads over there? Yeah. See that bush? Quick. That's how I want it. That's how I want that 10-pounder. No disrespect to anybody catching giants on LiveScope. You know, jiggling stuff right in front of their nose. That's cool. I can't do it. That's cool. I like catching them on LiveScope. It's fun, man. But that's bass fishing to be injected into my veins. So that live coverage. And I love, man, I miss Florida. This week, you know, being off the road more and more and more tour-wise, and then not fishing the Opens this year, that – normally January, February window, you're getting ready, you're getting your stuff ready, you're rigging up braid in a garage, and you're getting, you know, way earlier than the rest of the country, and you're getting ready to go down there, and I always went a couple days early, and seeing on social media all the Elite Series guys and BPT guys are down there and they're warming up, and then you got the FLW the MLF FLW Invitational going on down there at Okeechobee, and God, I miss Florida fishing. Like, again, no disrespect to like Texas and them lakes, because they're kicking out just like 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, 14, 13, 12, 13, 14. They got freaking giants. But, dude, the way you fish in Florida, when it's on, gosh, it is so much fun. If you've never had a chance to go down there, and you don't necessarily have to go in the wintertime. That's just when it's advertised, right, because it's cold everywhere else, so it's fun. You get down there, and in January, you might catch some 80-degree weather, and in February, like the MLF guys did this week, and the Elite Series guys are going to have some decent weather, I believe. But you can go down there, and you can get out of the cold, and the way you get to fish, it's just so much fun. And so not a lot of live scope looking down there. Even though, you know, in the Bassmaster Open last year, that was a big player at Toho, but it's a little deep, you know, a little deeper, a little different deal. They were out on offshore hydrilla, but in our MPFL event down there this past fall, a lot of live scoping going on too. So, I mean, it happens down there, but man, a hand-to-hand combat, son. Woo! Josh Weaver caught him like 2 sevens back-to-back yesterday morning, just bowed up. I love that stuff, man. Absolutely freaking love some bass fishing. And I'm tired of the water temperature being like 50 degrees around here, because I'm ready for some of that. Ready for some of that. I'll tell you something else I'm ready for. To talk to our guest today. This dude is awesome. That is one of the most simple but best ways to describe this man. I've gotten to know him over the years. He is one of the hardest workers in the entire bass fishing industry, whether it's on the water, prep, social media, content, just giving it every ounce and not taking anything for granted that he has been given, because his story is a little different than ours, because he is from Australia. They don't even have freaking bass. And my man, at the end of next month, will be fishing that beautiful Bassmaster Classic up there in Knoxville on the Tennessee River. We're going to get the sauce from him, presented by the W Sauce, America's Worcestershire. The W Sauce. It's good on everything. Can almost drink it. Wouldn't suggest it, but you could. You could. Don't drink Startron. You could drink the W Sauce. Add it to a Bloody Mary and whatnot. We appreciate the folks from the W Sauce bringing you these great interviews. But ladies and gentlemen, the Aussie. I have to keep my wife away from these interviews because she's obsessed with Carl and his accent. So Triple Threat has been banned from the Bar and Grill. Ladies and gentlemen, Carl Jacobson. Well, as promised, we have connected with the one and only Carl Jacobson. The Aussie Bass Assassin is my new name for you, just in case you're wondering.
I like Carl, it.
Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, mate. It's been haven't been on your podcast yet, so it's
no!
appreciate you having me on.
Well, and I think that
we did the man cave deal. We did the the
boats and pros.
Yeah,
cool. With the purple bullet, that was the weapon.
We're lucky to be alive. Like, that's the main thing. Each day you got to be thankful after that shoot.
Listen, people have no idea. And I told you, there's a guy from my hometown that bought that boat from that dealership I borrowed it from the next week. And I'm like, buddy, good luck.
Be careful.
That's what I said. Yeah, you calling it a weapon will always be my favorite moment from that series. This thing's a weapon.
Yeah, it's super cool.
But I didn't realize, I think, so I keep a running list of guests I want to have on, and I try to mix it up all the time, and it hit me. Last week, I was like, I haven't had Carl on the regular, and I get a lot of requests, too, to have you as a guest, and I was like, I haven't had Carl on the regular podcast ever. I don't know why that's never happened, but I'm glad to finally make it work, dude.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Cool to get the season kicked off. And, it's good to see, you know, the fishing podcast sort of taking off. I know there's a bunch out there, but it's just cool to see it all happening. And, I actually really enjoy them. You know, I'd like to start one myself, but it's like it's a crazy thing where you're just like, oh, there's so many. How do you make it different? And, watching podcasts is a part of my sort of almost daily routine. When I wake up in the off season, clicking on all of you different guys, listening to different people, learning stuff, I think it's super cool. So I actually enjoy getting on here.
Well, and you and I have talked about that before. You're a big Rogan guy. You listen to Rogan a lot. I know you did the Meat Eater podcast, right? Didn't you go there with Brandon? Yeah.
Yeah, me and Brandon went. Yeah, in Montana at the home of Meat Eater, and got to catch up with Steve Rinella and all of those guys. Yeah. Made some amazing contacts with them. But that's the stuff I like, is like talking to guys that are just like, you know, high end into their either sport or whatever they love to do, and talking about it, just bringing up stuff that sometimes doesn't get talked about, or issues, and learning. I love learning, you know, and that's YouTube and all of that is just so crazy for it. Like, a lot of people do take advantage of it, but that's one thing. People like, oh, you made it, or even talking to Van Damme and Swindle and all of these guys, they love learning. That's what you find out about the top guys. It's like, they're not just there and then they've made it and that's it. They are constantly looking to improve themselves in some way, every sort of different aspect of life.
Well, I think, and that's interesting, because I think our sport, and maybe it's every sport, but for whatever reason with professional bass fishing, if you don't constantly learn and change somewhat, you're done.
Yeah.
I mean, you really are. And I've seen as close as he and I are, his fishing style change. Now, he's still at his core the Gerald Swindle I've known my entire life, but he's willing to go out and get better with forward facing sonar, up his finesse fishing game for going up north. I mean, he's constantly trying new things, new baits. He's a tackle junkie. You know, he likes experimenting with new things. I think that's interesting, especially those two names you mentioned, like Van Damme and Gerald. They could just lay up, right? Like, they're here. They did it. Yeah. But man, they constantly want to keep pushing. And I think that's the neatest thing about our sport, because if you're going to stay in it at the level you're at for as many years as those guys have, you have to constantly adapt, because it is always changing.
Yeah, it's that Swindle's the perfect example of like him staying up with what's happening. Like, instead of complaining, social media, now it's become this, there's all of these kids, college, they had it better. Like, you just hear it, and those people that say that, it doesn't end well for you. It's the complainer, no one cares. It's like, and Swindle's a perfect example of like, okay, what have I got to do? TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, what have I got to do? And he's just constantly chasing it and staying up with it. His career is just continually growing still. And so that gives me not only inspiration, but makes it look like, oh, that's what I need to do, be doing as well. Like, you constantly got to be growing no matter what level you've made it to in the sport. You got to continually like push. And it's the same with techniques. It's like, yeah, you might be good at that, but that's not going to be like that forever. Like, it's going to change. You're going to have to adapt.
Well, I think we saw that back in the early days. Because before social media and live coverage, a guy could get on a run with a certain little sneaky technique and dominate, you know, for a little bit.
Yeah.
And he could maybe lie on stage. Not that fishermen lie. Nobody lies. But he could say, I'm catching them on this pin right here everywhere I go. And then you find out, wait a second, that's not what he was using at all. But now that's out the window between photo galleries, live coverage, GoPros on every boat. I mean, everything's changed. So you do have to, get it while you can, if you find out a little sneaky deal, but then you better be trying to figure out what's next or adapting to whatever lake you're on, whatever technologies are coming out. You can't, I mean, that's what frustrates me. And I actually talked about this before I got you on. I'm old school, even though I love live scope. Like, I love it. I love forward facing. I've been with Garmin for years on that front. But I was watching the invitational coverage down there at Okeechobee, where you guys are going to be this week.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? That's bass fishing to me. Just that locked up. It's like you with the big glider. Like, sign me up for that more so. Like, if I could catch a 10 pounder on forward facing in open water or doing that, I want that.
Yeah.
Like, I want the big heavy cover. Like, that's how I grew up dreaming of going to Florida and flipping fish out of reed heads and all that. So,
yeah,
but at the same time, you can't discount forward facing and you can't ignore it if you're going to do what you do, right? I mean, you just can't.
Yeah, you got to, it's just, you've got to be good at everything, but like, it's just so many people like, oh, you know, oh, it's all changed to this now. Like, it hasn't. It'll go back to the other way. It always does. And like, Mother Nature has a way, no matter how good the hunters get with trail cameras and all the deer, just like, hey, I'll just come out at night and then he'll never get me. You know, they're smart. Like, I feel like Mother Nature has a way of protecting herself. We do have to manage ourselves a little bit, because humans tend to get a little bit too, they're not greedy, but like, we'll just keep pushing it till it gets crazy, you know.
100%.
Like, we like to grow. So there's a little slight management there, but most people just need to know that all of us are fishermen, you know. I just hate people. Look at all that technology you got now. I absolutely love fishing out of my bass boat. It's got the highest end technology. It's got Mega Live 360. It's insane. And it's everything that I've ever dreamt of. But right behind us is this little tiny creek right here. And I'm going to grab my rod and throw a frog in it. It's not connected to Okeechobee. And I'm going to walk the bank and love that as much. We have a little pond. All of us, the highest end guys, are walking down fishing with a backpack. My main sponsor is Hobie, and that's because I've always fished out of a kayak since I was a kid, and that's my getaway. Most of us are fishermen, and forward facing is just another way of catching them, and it's so fun to catch them like that. I actually love it, and I've learned more about bass in the last couple of years since having it than I have my entire life almost. Like,
wow,
it's like, you're seeing how they're reacting, how many are actually down there, how many are actually not eating your lures, and you're like, holy cow, and you're actually learning, but they're adapting at the same time. They're getting caught and learning and figuring it out, and it's just another way. But all of us here, from what I've ever seen, making it to the top end, is we're all just fishermen. We love fishing and love the outdoors, and we just decided that at a competitive level, like, you wanted to push it and take your hobby that you love to the highest level you could. And that's how you got here. But at the core, we're just fishermen. We just love fishing. And however we want to catch a fish, we're going to try it.
No doubt about it. And I say this week in and week out, but talking to as many guys as I get to on here, the overwhelming theme is you have to be obsessed with bass fishing. I don't care because people are like, oh, it's about who you know. You see those kind of complaints, right? Oh, it's who you know. And that guy's just got good social media, so he's this or he's that. And it's like, no, at the root of it, you have to love and be obsessed with fishing, or the rest of it doesn't even matter. In my opinion, to do it at the level you guys are on, you've got to love it to want to do it.
yeah, it has to be obsession, like, can't live without it. Like, it can't be like, oh, that looks cool, I might try that. You're going to run into stuff that you're going to say, there's no way I'm going to continue to do this. That's, you're just going to run into so many brick walls that if you don't love it, this is the only thing that you can possibly think of every single day, it's just going to get too hard and you quit. And just the names that, for me alone, that have I've been able to surpass over 10 years of guys that were so much better than me, way better anglers, more experience, had more opportunities, lived in America, born in America, dads took them fishing. It just got too difficult now, like, and they're out. And I don't blame them. It's not, it's hard. But I decided that those setbacks, I wasn't going to let that turn me away, and just kept chipping away. And then eventually something's going to give in. The universe is going to say, far out, this guy is not going to give in. And you're going to get some doors that are going to open. And there is an element of luck. You've got to have, you know, I feel like I'm lucky, but I also like made sure that I didn't just leave it up to that. I was lucky with my feet running as fast as I can run in every aspect of life. Like that's where I think people sort of mix it up. Like, you can't get lucky and then just make it and have all of this stuff. It's just, and live everything. You've got to be going as hard as you possibly can at every single second, and just have this little bit of few things go your way. But I feel like they'll go your way when you push it like that hard. Eventually you'll run into a little bit of luck.
I love that so much, man, knowing your story. And I hate the word luck.
Yeah.
Many people use it, right? Like, yeah, using it correctly. And it's that old saying of, it's when preparation meets opportunity. And I think you're living proof of that. Looking at your track record since you got in the States, and I love that you didn't have a dad that took you bass fishing in the United States. Hell, you grew up on a continent that didn't have a damn bass, man. That's when I think I said that on our Boats and Pros episode. Like, what's your excuse, folks? Like, what's your excuse to not chase your dream or not climb the ladder at your job that you want? I mean, whatever the case is, you don't have an excuse. And when I look at your journey, you bust on the scene in the elites, and it doesn't go the way Carl wants it to go, like the way you would have dreamed it. And you didn't requalify after a certain amount of time. You join. I was on the FLW tours when I was first around you some. You come, fish that, do well. You fish the Opens, and you know what you did? You fought your way right back in.
Yeah.
You made it back in. You get a win.
Yeah.
In the lead series. And now, in 1 month, let this sink in. And I know you have, but in one month, buddy, you're gonna pull the Fear My Heart rig to the Bassmaster freaking Classic,
and not,
dude, that gives me chills just saying.
Dude, I got goosebumps. Like, I got goosebumps right now.
Incredible, man. Is that starting to sink in for you? I mean, I know you got work to do first. We got two elites before that, but are you already thinking ahead to Knoxville and rolling into that arena?
Yeah, I'm definitely. There's just such a fine line, because I sort of wear my heart on my sleeve a little bit. I soak in a lot of different energy. And so I have to be careful, because I get emotional when I think about it, because I'm like, holy cow, I can't believe like this, but I've got work to do at the same time. So it's like, it's a balance of like putting my head down, making sure I'm thinking about the fishing and winning, and going to give my all and not let all of these little things come in. But man, I just wish that the people that I'm probably going to get introduced to they haven't seen my backstory, and most people don't know it. But if you imagine a kid growing up in a small country town in Queensland, Australia, looking at magazines, getting Van Damme's videos and putting them into the cassette thing, and watching his spinnerbait tips, and watching Bassmaster on ESPN, and I'm not even in the same country, and I'm telling people that's what I'm going to do. I remember, like, I was probably like 16, 17, and the tournaments were starting to get bigger in Australia, and I just remember I would watch the classic, and then I would tear up and get goosebumps of thinking about me fishing that tournament. And that was 21 years ago. So I wish I could explain to people like what it kind of takes and what it is, but a lot of it, there's so many different variables, but a lot of it for me is imagination. I had a crazy imagination that could happen, and I would think about it, and for somehow I just kept chipping away slowly at whatever those steps were that would get me towards that. And at the start, it was, I need to do well in Australia first before I could even think about doing that. So all of that was in the back burner, and I had to make sure I got to a stage where I had dominated everything I possibly could in the Australian fishing scene. And it took me 10 years. And eventually that's what I did. I got to a stage where I thought, I've almost done everything I can possibly do here. And I have the name now to say, maybe I'm the guy that can come over and actually do it. I wanted to be like worthy of it, not just do it because maybe I could afford it or have this and that. I had to be like, I've earned my way to be able to come over and do it. So that was a 10-year journey just in its own before I even stepped foot into the US. And I've thought about it and thought about it every single day of my life, woken up, thought about it. And then now, like, my family, my friends, Australians are going to be sitting in the stands with the Aussie flag, and I'm going to be driving into the arena.
That's crazy. What I was going to ask. Are you going to have family coming in from Australia and friends? They are going to get to come to the event?
Yeah, I think it's super expensive, you know. And I'm right now, I'm like still trying to get a couple of my sister and my mum and stuff over, but it's really hard because they've got families and, like, you know, they really want to be here, but, you know, I think the flights for just five of them were like $15,000 or something. Wow. just to get over here. So, but at the moment there's at least 50 to maybe 70 Australians that are going to come over already. So ABT it's going to be crazy.
Listen, official invite right here, looking at the camera. There's going to be a low budget live party on Saturday night. Okay.
The location. I don't know if you want to wish this.
Bring it, baby. Let's go. I am here for hanging out with the Aussie crowd Saturday night.
You think that bullet was dangerous? Wait till you get drinking beer with the Aussies.
I want a dose of that. I need that on Rocky Top, Tennessee, baby. I need that. It's so awesome.
It's going to be. Yeah, Australians, when they get to come to America, they get really inspired, and they just love the freedom and all the things that America is about. But a lot of them go to LA, New York, Orlando, Dallas, a little bit, maybe Nashville, maybe. They really get to do the touristy stuff, which is cool. But I feel like Australians don't really get to see, like, the America that I get to see a lot of. Yeah. Really. I call it real America because the stuff you see on the news, I have never seen that with my own eyes ever in 10 years, over 10 years of living here. I'm like, and so Australia's like, oh, look at how crazy this and that's happening. I'm like, yeah. That's like, that isn't actually America. That's the stuff you've seen on the news. When I come and you get to go behind the scenes and get to meet real Americans, they love Australians. They love people. They're proud of their town. They're proud of the cities. They want people to come. I remember when I was here, I always couldn't believe Americans would always say, what did you think of our town, our city? And I used to think it was so weird because I'd never ask that. I'd say, I wouldn't say that in Australia. I'd sort of maybe say, what do you think of Australia, maybe? But I felt like they always asked. I hope you had they really wanted you to have a good time and enjoy their town or their city. And and you get that when you get outside of the big cities. That's when you start to get the welcoming feeling that Americans have given me and that I've experienced. And I want Australians to experience that. And I know they're going to get that in Knoxville and Tennessee. And when they're in the, just when they're in the arena and meet people, because Americans are super proud of what I've done because they understand a little bit more about how difficult it is. Like, they know, like, holy cow, like, I live here and I've done this and I know how difficult it is, where And now a lot of the Australians are going to be able to come over and kind of see that, which is super cool.
You've always been so, to me, just an inspiration, man, from everything that you've been able to accomplish. But in a year, like we just changed the Bassmaster Open format, right? Where you got in the industry, you got to fish all night. And I see these guys on the internet and they're like, "God, you just eliminated my chances of ever being able to be a pro." And I'm like, "Yeah, see Carl Jacobson's story, enter," in all caps. And I'm like, "And then shut up." You know, I mean, it's true. It's like, you don't have an excuse. And I think it'll be so cool for your friends. They'll feel that, man. They'll feel how many people pull for you, because your fan base, man, when I'm around you at the Classic and stuff, it's like, you just see it. You just see it growing. It's so cool to be a part of it. I get to spend a lot of time with you in the TH booth every year, whether it's ICAST or the Classic. Not this year. With you at the Classic this year. At the party Sunday night when you're hoisting that trophy, man.
That would be insane. I always said to Kayla since about 2015-16, I said, the first Classic I make, I'm going to win. I always used to tell her that. And there's something about it I've always felt. So, but no matter what, I'm just going to soak in, you know, every second of that, because, you know, it's something that's super special. And I've just, I've dreamt about it my entire life and it's actually coming true. So it's talking about, you know, we sold these Classic shirts. They're like a supporter shirt, and we had the Aussie flag on the back, but we got the same ones made with the US flag on the back, because the Americans, they love to support me, and we sell 50-50 of each, and it's that's super cool. I think the Fear My Heart, just with this, we did the most sales we've ever done in the last, 8 years or something on Fear My Heart, just through my supporter shirts and all of that. So it's all of that starting to like ramp up, and just seeing the support from, you know, both countries. Super cool.
Oh, I see guys in the open that got Fear My Heart carpet decals on their boat. Yeah. And it's so cool to see that it's, because it is your lifestyle. It is definitely, you know, you get knocked down, but you're like, I'm not out. And you always come back stronger than ever. You work on your weaknesses. You're very proud of that. And now, right over your shoulder, which I think she's gone now, but I was almost distracted during the last thing, your baby girl keeps popping up in the back of the camper, and it's amazing. She's waving.
Really? You can see her?
Yeah, she popped up like she's popped. She's gone now. She keeps popping up and like banging on the glass like, "Dad, why are you out there talking to a bearded guy?
Coming here."
She's trying to save you. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. You got Riva and you've got Rue and Kayla on the road now.
Yep.
You were telling me before we hit record, she's been on the road with you since she was 2 weeks old. So you guys living in the truck camper, have you had to adjust anything to make life with the family? Because Kayla was always with you. She helping you with content, making sure you got what you need. She is the perfect definition of a supportive wife. I mean, she is. She has been with you. You guys have been this team since day one on the Elite Series. But how is it with the whole family on the road now?
It's amazing. But, you know, a lot of people probably don't realize that, you know, we have a 13-month-old baby in a truck camper. And, you know, there's a lot of challenges that come with that. But we're always just, you know, we adapt and we're always just sort of grateful for the life, even though like, hey, this is a bit difficult. We're always like, that's what I've always tried to do, is when I've run into something, when I'm like, man, this sucks. Like as far as like when we used to be in hotels, I'm like, I don't like this. This is not good. I've worked, but what else is out there? How can I change this? Don't just sit in that and be like, well, this is how it is. And that's how we discovered more camping, truck camper. Then our life improved because we were now camping. We had our own spot. And I always try and chip away at little things like that. And that's just helped us like grow and grow and grow as a family, as a couple. But without Kayla, there's just no chance of me being here. You have to have a partner in life that's just believes in you and is your like number one fan and is going to support you and make, you know, your life as good as possible. And you're going to do the same back. So you're both trying to get on the same level. And, you know, Kayla has done all of this Fear My Heart stuff with her mum, Sherry. They've just been incredible. Otherwise, I couldn't do it. And they don't see behind the scenes. Kayla is a full-time mum, plus helping me, plus putting my boat in, plus helping with content. She runs a couple different social media pages. Like, she's just flat out. And that's what it takes to sort of survive in the fishing world. It's not easy. It's flat from the second you get up until 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. Often I'm taking phone calls from Australia, business stuff. It's flat, but we love it. We absolutely love it. And River has just like, and I can't believe it. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my whole life. People have always said it, and I'm like, it sounds good. But then one day I was like, man, I want to be a dad. And since that day, like, every day has just gotten better. And she's 13, 14 months now, and she's like, she knows, she's calling my name. She's starting to make a few steps. She's like got a little personality, and it just gives you like some real meaning to life. Like, you feel like, I know what I'm doing everything for. And it does make it a bit harder to like be away, and it makes it harder like being out on the water for long days, because you want to get back and see her. Yeah, and you don't want to miss like a second, because one big long day on the water, I come back and I'm like, she's changed. She's now she's doing this. And but we're super lucky, because we're creating a life where we can be together a lot, like so much of the time. We're not away all the time. We get to travel together, see awesome places. And River is growing into a cool, she's going to have an amazing like growing up, because she sleeps amazing. She doesn't let anything bother her, because she's been in the truck, in the camper, since she was 2 weeks old. She's been to Australia. Like, she did a 17-hour to Australia, and she slept in the plane. She slept over there. She was just no trouble. And I think it's a lot because we haven't got that like set routine, and she just figures to go with the flow a little bit. Yeah. And it's worked out. It's working out really good. But it comes with its challenges. In the morning, when River's asleep in a truck camper, I'm tiptoeing like a mouse in there.
Trying to get your rain suit on quietly.
Yeah.
Making too much noise.
Yeah. You don't want to. And she's up. She's up. She's ready to get after the day. So
she's ready to rock and roll like that.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that going back to Australia? I know you don't get to go a ton, right? Like, you don't get, like we said, I mean, it's very expensive going back and forth. There's a lot of headaches there. I know in the last few years, just with COVID and things, you guys haven't got to go back. How was that getting to take her over, and Kayla? You had Gussie as a stowaway too. I know he ended up over there. But snuck him in your suitcase over there. We're gonna come back, actually. Just from social
media. Yeah, I know. Gussie didn't want to leave. He was gonna be like, this is where I'm staying. It was amazing. You know, I hadn't, because of COVID and all of that, we hadn't been home since 2018. So it's been the longest that I hadn't seen my family for. And then we had Riv, and Riv was getting to 8, 9 months old, and my mom and stuff just sort of, you know, you can Zoom like this and FaceTime, but there's only so much of that you can do without actually getting to hold on. And so, yeah, you see a video we posted, like, my mom and my sister were at the airport, and we flew in, and, you know, Riv was right there, and it was super emotional for everyone. And Riv just sort of like took to them straight away. That you can tell she knew like who they were. And seeing all my friends, my family, and just, you know, we were there for 5 weeks, I think, and it just went in the blink of an eye. I had to do a lot of work with sponsors and stuff, which was great. And then we fished the Barratua with Gussie, which was pretty much the trip of a lifetime, even for me. And Gussie's just like, he's like, when are we going again? He wants to go. So we are trying to set it up to make it a little bit easier for people in America or Canada that want to come over and experience it, because it's something special. It's like everything you've ever dreamt of with bass fishing, but they're 40 to 60, 70 pounds, hit the same lures and in the same kind of scenarios, and not many boats around. You're sort of in the outback Australia. Sometimes you're in the mountains, and the fishing is just phenomenal. And it's something that, like, I think a lot of people in America would like to experience, but it's just kind of difficult for them to do it unless we set it up like that. Like, hey, you're going to fly into Brisbane, fly into Mackay, and then Aussie will pick you up and you'll fish with them and they'll show you the ropes. And we're going to try and set up a few more trips and get some of the Elite Series guys over there a bit more often to fish that barra tour.
That would be cool.
It'd be pretty cool. Yeah. Cover it a bit more video, like be getting Swindle over there with like the Aussie version redneck.
Listen, nobody, the world doesn't need that. Okay, Carl, listen to me. Listen, that does need not need to have. That'll be an international crisis if you send his bowling ass over there. You can't do that to us. They'll be like, "This is you're talking about Australians seeing America on the news. You put him in Australia, be like, this is what Americans are.
This is real America, guys. Here you go. Is G-Man. Yeah, it'd be pretty special. I'd love it. No one would understand anything that anyone was saying. Everyone would just talk and no one would get anything.
You know when Rue looks at you funny when you say something?
Yeah.
Everybody would look at Gerald the whole time.
Yeah. It'd be some laughs. It was – the barra tour is like, man, it was like kind of going back in time. Like it was just teams events, super relaxed, chilled. Everyone helps each other. Like this has hurt me and I've spoken about this before, but the motto in Australia for ABT that like Bassmaster has, you know, big stage, big dreams. Australia, since I was a kid, 14, the motto was who shares wins. And so it because we're not fishing for a lot livelihood, everyone has full-time jobs and you were just getting away and fishing, they tried to really keep the fun and learning in it. And so my whole career in Australia, I showed everything that I ever did to everyone before the tournament would even start. Like they'd be coming over to my boat and I'd be like, twitching plastics, half ants head, this is what I'm doing. And I'd show them and then I would still do really well and I still was able to win. And that's how it still is there. Like when we'd get off the water, everyone would get together and you're like, man, they ripped this treble off. This didn't work. Try this soft plastic. Everyone was just trying to help each other and you could see how excited everyone got by just talking about fishing. Like I don't like that. That's why I love like Gerald and Brand and Gussie, like and Josh, the guys that I get to talk to. We just love talking about fishing. I hate that feeling of like, you can't say anything. When I figure a pattern out, I like being like, this is happening and we get to talk about it. And that's sort of where half my passion comes from is just telling someone and learning them telling you. And it gets a little bit lost here because of how much is at stake, which I get. But at the same time, I don't think it hurts you that much. I think it's something that we all need to like be a little bit conscious of and make sure you're just not being super secret squirrel all the time.
I think that it matters who you talk to as well, because you got to be able to trust them, you know, because you can get taken
and advantage get it back. Of.
Yeah. Unfortunately you can get taken advantage of in this sport, just in life in general at times. But
yeah,
that was always my favorite part of traveling and having a core group of guys that you could lean on. You're like, hey man, I just got bit doing this in this situation. And the ideas that would come from that of how they may approach.
Maybe they're doing that.
Yeah, and then on tournament day, it might be lunch, and your deal might not be working, and you think about something Gerald said in the back of your mind, well, maybe they'll eat that jig on this same situation. You throw in there and catch one.
Exactly,
And that's
– It's got to come back. It's got to come back. Like, you get with the guys that are going to give it back to you. I've seen it come back tenfold by doing that, but you got to be around the right core group of people, I think, is the most important, and then, But, that was what me and Gussie noticed the most. It's like, far out, everyone. Like, these guys we become good friends with in the end. I hadn't met them before, but they were hammers, and they were like the local guns on Faust. And we didn't know that, and we end up finding their spot, basically. And they were like, holy crap, Gussie and Carla here. We kind of, like, went through all this timber, and then we were fishing. They were on the winning spot. And we went right around them, like we were casting like close to them, and we just didn't figure it out. You know, if we'd have parked right there, we would have had, they won, and I think we come 18th. And then there was another tournament 2 days the next day, and they told us hey, man, you guys missed it by this much. They said, hey, just go down 100 yards, tie to that tree. The same fish will be coming through. And me and Gussie did that, had a blast for 2 days. And I'm like, that was super cool. You know, that was the sort of stuff.
Yeah. Gussie's one of those guys that I was actually talking about him yesterday to a friend of mine that when we were on the FLW tour together, there is zero malice in that guy whatsoever. There's zero. He is the sweetest human being, nicest guy. And he was always a guy that I liked talking to in the way in. He'd just tell you, hey, try this tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just fantastic human. And there was one time down at Okeechobee where you're sitting right now in 2017, 2018. I can't remember. But Gussie and I were in the same area on day two, and I was catching him. I caught him pretty good the first day. I was catching him the second day. And he comes over there, and he says, hey, what are you doing with that thing?
Yeah.
And I was doing something a little different, and I said, all right, come here. And so, and he goes, I've only got four. I was throwing back like 3 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and he's going, you know the deal. Like, that stinks.
Yeah.
Watch that. And he fishes, and I'd already ran off two or three guys that were trying to slide in there. But Gussie was never that guy, and he was like, hey, what's going on? So he comes over, I rig him up a bait, I threw it to him. I said, go finish your limit. I was like, but don't do it right here. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. And dude, the next event we're at Lanier, and I really thought I was going to catch him there. I had a difficult first day, and I end up jumping up like 80 spots the next day based on a little bit of a change he told me about in the weigh-in line. And he repaid it. And I'm like, you know what? That guy is real. I've always, and I thought a lot of him before then, but I thought that's the guy that you can trust in life. He's a great guy. And I think it's so funny you two together, because you're both just the nicest people I've ever met. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
We are nice, but like we got killer in us when it comes to like competition. Like Gussie wants to catch everyone wants to win everything just like me. Like, and that's, you know, they get people like get mistake that sometimes for niceness, but it's like we want to win. We just don't act it. Like, we don't put the act on, and that's fine too. But you know, I prefer it better, you know, to have a more humble attitude, I guess, towards things. That's what Gussie has too. But then when competition time starts, you need to. It definitely hurt me at the start. I was way too nice, like way too nice in those first couple of years. But it helped me to get those things that happened to me where people cross the line. I'm like, man, I actually let that happen. That shouldn't happen. And I learned from that. And you just got to know when to kind of stand your ground and know you're in the right, hold your own, and when to be like, nah, it's not a big deal. We can figure it out.
I think that's difficult for a lot of people when they first start, like when you first qualify. I mean, I know in the FLW days, I was like that. Look, you roll up on a stretch and here comes Larry Nixon. And it's like, right this way, sir. Here are the reasons I was going to fish. Go ahead. You know, and you're like, what do you do? You've got to have a little bit of that, you know, killer instinct at times. I know you've got it. You're super competitive. And I will agree with you with that on Gussie. He can play Mr. Nice Guy, but that dude with Ron Real is dangerous.
Yeah.
He's dangerous.
He, I was going to explain it. Like, what I did is try and through 15, 16, although it cost me then by doing a certain few things where, like, I yielded to a guy that I had a lot of respect for and I didn't push my limits, I sort of earned respect off the group. This was my mindset, is like, if someone told me I was a poacher, I'd just crawl in a ball and die.
Yes.
I did not want that. I never wanted anyone to think he come from Australia, just following these guys. I'm like, I want to find my own fish. I don't care if I come dead last every time, as long as like I haven't like encroached on anyone, done anything wrong, or someone. I don't like anyone having that feeling, even though you get thick skin and you're going to have people like the start of social media, people say stuff and it hurts. And then you realize that that's just how it rolls with those people. And so I tried to earn my respect with the Elite Series guys. And I think although that cost me a lot of money and a lot of finishes and all sorts of things in those first few years, now when I roll up to a spot, I'm more likely to the guy to know that I'm not there just because of him. I found them and they're willing to help me and let me in there if they come first, and they know I'm going to share that. At Oahe, Seth was on this one cast deal, and it was really the only spot that I had. And I rolled up and I'm like, oh, and I'm like, Seth, is there room for two? He's like, hell yeah, get in there. And he's the first thing he said, he's like, I know you'd do it for me. And I was like, sweet.
That's awesome.
And then me and him side by side, and it worked out. And then, but people have done it to me, and this happens, it's a small world. You be a prick long enough in this sport, you'll burn enough. You're driving up. There's guys that drive up to me. They see me and they just drive the other way because they know that they got no chance of me letting them in.
Yeah.
They know what they did. So I'm like, it comes back quick. So you got to be careful of being like real hard ass on like no one's coming in on my spot. To like now I got nowhere to go and no one will let me in ever. I've really got to find my own stuff if it's covered up. So there's a big balance there of like how to figure all of that out.
No, I agree. And you see that at all levels, but at the top level where you guys are, there's not a lot of y'all, right? There's not a lot of guys. It's a small field and word gets around quick. You get labeled as that guy, the poacher guy. It goes through like shockwaves. People know.
Yeah.
And then once four, five, six guys have that same experience, you're not going to share those. You're not going to share a spot with somebody. You're not invited into the community.
And the same as the guys that like don't let anyone in. Like if you go near them, they're just gonna. You got no chance. But then, hey, if you want to, then that comes back on them too. They're like,
Definitely. They go
to slide into their spot, and you're there. They got no chance coming in. Same comes back. It's an interesting sport.
It is a very interesting sport. And you're playing, you know, we always say you play it on public water too. So then you got that local aspect as well at times. It's like, man, it's a lot of dynamics. So speaking of spots, I had this in my notes. I've got a bone to pick with you and put you on the spot with this. I had Taku Ito. I don't know if I know you listen to Low Budget Live some.
Yep.
He was very frustrated with you, Carl, because he said, he could not fish the bridges at Guntersville because Carl was there.
I'm on everyone all the time.
He told me on the show, he says, I don't like Guntersville because he doesn't like fishing grass. I was like, well, what about the bridges? And he said, Carl's on the bridges.
I own them. I own all the bridges there. You're not allowed on them. If I'm not there, I'm coming. I'm on the way to it.
Carl's spot. I told him, I said, well, maybe, Taku, you should pay the bridge fee to Carl. There's a fee. If you pay Carl, he'll scoot over and you can throw it to corner of the bridge. But he was very frustrated. That was one of my favorite things he ever said.
I'm a bridge troll.
That's what I called you. I said, he's the troll under the bridge. He should be ashamed of himself, keeping little Taku off the bridge.
I'm a troll. I'm a bridge bully. I know. It's the only way I know how to catch him there. If there's no bridges, I'd be screwed.
that he and I had a real fun conversation.
That's funny.
That was something that came. He's like, I don't like Guntersville. I was like, we need to fish a bridge, Taku. What's your problem? He's like, Carl's on all the bridges.
It's funny how you run into certain people all the time. Like you must fish similar. So like there's people that you just don't see all year. You're like, is that guy even fishing?
Yeah.
Like out here. And then there's guys you're like, every time you turn, like they're there, and you're like, all right, we've got the same sort of half plant.
But is Taku one of those guys? Do you run into Taku a lot?
Obviously not enough because he's always on the winning fish somewhere, and I'm nowhere to be seen. So I need to see Taku a little more.
Yeah, you need to look.
You don't see him that often. Actually, out on the water, he's pretty low key.
He's in a bright yellow boat this year, so there you go. It's like DHL. He's ripping some delivery. I saw the other
day. Really?
Yeah,
that's
DHL.
Cool.
Yeah, his truck and boat. He posted the other day. He's
wow.
I had a blast talking with him on here, man. And I think that speaks to just how cool our sport is. Obviously, you being from Australia, but these Japanese anglers have came over for a long time and had just this a lot of success. But they have a little bit of a heads up because they have a Japanese tackle.
Which is
fantastic. But B, they do get to fish for bass. Unlike you from Australia, they do get to fish for bass in these crazy pressured situations. But it speaks volumes about our sport that you can come from a different land and be able to be successful. It's pretty daggum cool, man, to be a part of it.
It's the American dream. It's, you know, I don't want it to get lost, you know, like, and I don't think it will. I think it's there, but I would love to see more Aussies get over here. I don't want to be that guy that's like, I want to be the only Aussie. I want to try and carve a path, and COVID sort of really hit hard a lot because a lot of Aussie, I was lucky I had my visa by then, I was able to stay here, but that really like set the Aussies back 2-3 years from happening. But there's a young kid right now, his name's Tommy Wood, and he's coming over and he's super talented. He's won the bar events. He's the Bass Blaster asked me the other day like how Japanese guys are really good at finesse tackle and, you know, all of the different ones. He's like, what are the Australians good at? And the way I could explain it is I think Aussies are the best all-round anglers for any species because of the way our country sets up. There's Australian bass pockets, and then there's barramundi up north, Murray cod, saltwater fishing, all really close. So a lot of our guys, they'll fish all the tournaments for brim, is a saltwater fish, barramundi up north, and our bass, and they're great at adapting. And that's why I was able to make it, because I just sort of have a good understanding of like fish in general and take like the spinner baits that work for here and utilize it here. And so this kid Tommy is coming over, and we sat down with him and I was like, this is how I would do it now, and set like a 3-month plan up for him. And he's going to go as a marshal in 3 or 4 events. He's going to fish as a co-angler in 3 or 4 of the Bassmaster Opens. I got him hooked up with a few of the US guys, and Gussie did too. He's going to practice with them. And so I would love to see a few more Aussies like having a crack. But when they ask me at the same time, I'm just like, take a deep breath. I'm like, I just know what you're in for, man. If you're willing to go, how bad do you want it? But I want to be here to be able to help them and try and make, you know, so they don't make the mistakes that I made along the way that were like major setbacks. Although they were good learning, you know, things for me, I'd rather someone not have to run into all of that.
Well, it's like, how bad do you want it too, right? You gotta want it. Like you said, you gotta want it. But I think it's cool that they have you as an example, man. That's gotta be something that for future generations over there, fishermen, they'll always be able to say, Carl did it first. And this is how it did. And that's gotta be special for you, man. I know it's special for me just to say that. Like that's something that you should never take for granted. And I know you well enough to know you won't.
Yeah. No, it's super cool. The cool part going home is like the guy that started ABT, Australian Bass Tournaments, Steve Morgan, that this was his dream of what I'm doing.
Oh, wow.
Like not him so much to do it, although he came over and fished. He wanted to create a platform to be able to help an Australian come over and see if they could make it. And so he in the early days, he actually flew to America and he competed in FLW tournaments. He fished Clear Lake. He went as co-angler, and then he'd borrow someone's boat, fish as a pro. And he actually did really well. And so he basically emulated the FLW and ABT and took it and Bassmaster and took it to Australia and started Australian Bass Tournaments. And when he did that, it created some hype. And he started getting the local bass guys, and there'd be 30 boats, 40 boats. And then all of a sudden, this is what got me into it, is they had at one of my local lakes, they had a grand final. And I walked down there, our Bassmaster Classic, you know, it was only their second year running. And I walked down and a guy imported 2 American bass boats, and they were parked on the bank. And I walked down there and they were like fully rigged, decked out bass boats. And I was 14. And I was like, holy cow. I had this little tinny with a little trolling motor on it. And I thought it was the bomb. And I saw that. And that sort of started getting me into it. So Steve ran that. And then the prize for winning that grand final was expenses paid trip to America to see if an Aussie could they just so they could experience, but then see if they could carry it on. And so when he set that up, that was, I was like, that's my in. And then I competed for 10 years. And on my 10th year, I won the grand final. And that got me the trip to come to America and start to experience it. But what I'm doing was his original dream, like his setup. Like, I'm going to create this tournament and this series to see if we can get an Australian to come over and actually be competitive in the US. And I end up being that guy, which is wild. So going home to Steve and seeing him and giving him that blue trophy to hold, seeing that, fishing the ABT, is like, he's been a huge supporter.
That's amazing. That's the trip that you fished the US Open, right? When you met Fred Rimbanis and all that?
That's trip. Okay. Yeah, I did that trip, met Fred, came second in the US Open, and that's when the ball got rolling. And Steve and Nicole, who run the ABT, do the whole, they set up this trip where they told everyone, hey, if you want to come and watch the Classic, we're going to do everything, flights, accommodation, the whole works, and this is what it costs. And they put a package out there, and I think they got 25 people. And so they've got a group of 25 Aussies that are all flying in together, staying together. They'll be in the show. Bassmaster's going to help us out, trying to get them a little section, maybe give them a tour behind the scenes and stuff like that. So it's going to be cool.
Listen, my apologies right now if they show up on Sunday to that final weigh-in when you're going to fix them to win and they're hung over from Low Budget Live on Saturday night.
Aussies don't get hung over. That's not a thing. We haven't heard of that before.
You've never even heard that word? That's
no,
not
what is that? Yeah, what? I've never heard this thing you're talking about.
Listen, you're talking cool. to an American that knows that word right now.
Yeah.
I'll give you some parenting advice. Keep a lot of alcohol around because my stepdaughter Harper is going on 22 and I got to meet her new boyfriend last night for the first time. And that's why I hung over today.
Yeah.
Because that's an intense situation. Now I will say this. She's not had a ton of boyfriends in the 10 years I've been in her life, but from my former life, I have two boys, you know, so I never had to deal with all this girl stuff until the last 10 years. Right. And Harper's like, she's my girl. And it's rough, man. That part of it's rough. The protective dad thing is true.
Yeah.
And she's had three or four boyfriends over the years, but nothing real serious. But she is all about this guy. And I will say, he's an outdoorsman.
Nice.
He likes to hunt and fish. And this is the first one she's ever dated that I could actually have a conversation with. So not sad, but get ready for those days, Papa. That's not easy.
No, that's not looking forward to that. I might be in jail at some stage, but I'll end up killing someone. It was crazy.
I'm always Harper came in a couple weekends ago and I had like three of my shotguns. I've been on a duck hunt trip and I was cleaning shotguns I was like, hey, you bring her boyfriend's name's Keaton. I'm like, is he coming over today? Because I'm just going to leave this out if he is.
Yeah, I
need him to know. I am so proud to hear that there's going to be some Australians just representing in Knoxville. Hey, you know me, you're a Tennessean now, brother. I can't get you to say go Vols ever, but you are, you're a Tennessee boy now, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, no, I love Tennessee. Kayla does too. You know, it's cool. I'll say on this now, just because it's going to happen. But when Kayla and I cleaned up Gunnersville, we got thousands and thousands of comments saying, "Hey, let us know when you're going to do that again. We're going to help clean up." And we did all that trash clean up with Bassmaster.
Awesome.
Well, we've organized one right before Knoxville. And so on the 12th of March, if you're watching this and you're in Tennessee, this is the best podcast to probably let you know. It's a Sunday, 12th of March. We haven't released all the details yet, but we're going to do a big River Knoxville cleanup right before the Classic. So it's going to be a big deal. So we're doing that through Fear My Heart, and a lot of my sponsors and stuff are putting it all together. Clean Up Tennessee is involved in a lot of those organizations. They're all going to be there. We've got the high school teams coming, So it's going to be big. We're going to try and do a bit of a cleanup before the Classic happens.
Very cool. There's plenty to clean up on that Tennessee River too. It's a mess.
Yeah. It's probably just the one thing that really gets me about, like, not just America, but I just don't know why people do it. I'm like, man, they're just not working hard enough to, like, fix that problem. I'm like, just trashing your backyard. Like, it's so beautiful. Like, Tennessee's just mountains and nature and wildlife and all of these cool things, and then we just do that. I'm like, it's some sort of, I don't know what's got to change, but I don't know if it ever will, but we'll try and do our part, clean it
up.
How many
Nerf footballs and basketballs do you pick up when you do that?
I know, it's crazy.
They're everywhere on the Tennessee River. When it floods,
yeah, we got
sports equipment everywhere. It makes no sense. Yeah. To me. I don't know where all of it comes from. My entire life.
Yeah, it's wild.
Soccer balls, basketballs.
The stuff you find is crazy.
Refrigerators. Yeah, it makes no sense.
Yeah. It's the wildest stuff. But, yeah, we're going to try and do our bit anyway.
12th of March, you'll be busy between now and then. I wrote a note down.
Yeah. But
I'll be sure to watch for your social media stuff to share that as well.
That'd be cool.
Try to get the word out in our good state of Tennessee here so we can folks can do their part. That's for sure, man.
It's the where's the volunteer state come from? It's that kind of stuff, isn't it? Like, they just
– Yeah, well, it came from Davy Crockett, who's from my hometown, born and raised. Davy Crockett. You know, shout out to Big Davey and his coonskin cap. But they went to the Alamo to help, you know, fight down there on the front lines, and that's where they got the name Davey and his volunteers. He took a group of soldiers down from Tennessee to fight. I believe it was with Sam Houston down there in the Texas Mexican War, maybe. That's where the name came from. Davy Crockett and volunteers. So now, if you had a war, they might be ready to do that, but they're not ready to fight against trash and mountain.
We're fighting trash right now. We'll be good to go on the rubbish. Yeah,
the Mountain Dew cans and cigarette packs. Tennessee. All right, I want to ask you one thing: will you win an Elite Series on a glider this year? Will we see it, Carl Jocker?
We're definitely going to see it. If it's not this year, it's another year. I'm going to win an event on a glide, man. I reckon that's the closest anyone's come, or I've come anyway, at Chick. You know, I had those. It was it almost, it's set up so perfect. It just, I get dreamt of that scenario, and that little cold front just knocked it back. And that's the battle that it's why people haven't won on a glide, is because you need perfect conditions every day for 4 days straight, and you just rarely get them. And if you're going to throw it, you've got to be committed. And that's what I did. I made a little adjustment on day 3 and caught a 7 and a 6 nearly back to back and got back in it again. But literally, I had a 5 and a 7, a snap clip opened up.
Yeah, I remember.
7 pound fell off, and I win. Those two stick, and I win. Like, I had the winning fish on in that event. It's all scenario. If things line up at the Classic, gets a little bit warm. Who knows? We get a little bit of heat.
I love it. Come on, sunshine, I say. Come
on, sunshine. Yeah, we need it to warm up a little bit. But,
I want to be there when you win on a glider at the Classic and all those Australians are in there, and we just get rattled.
It's going to get wild. It'll get wild. 10 Knoxville will never be the same.
Listen, if you win there after Tennessee beat Alabama this year, this past fall, Knoxville's had a rough 8 or 9 months of people acting a fool up there. I feel like if you pull that off, we'll burn that damn place to the ground, Carl. I'll be right.
It'll be a real riot.
Yes.
For fun.
I'm here for it.
If we want to.
Have you ever seen The Rock at Tennessee? It's this historic deal.
Yeah.
So it's on campus. They spray paint it different things and for game weeks and things. I've got to try to get somebody to paint a glider on that for the week of the Classic.
Yeah.
Put a big glide on there.
Make it happen. Yeah. Happen. Glider 2023.
Carl Jacobson, cool. You're the man. I appreciate you coming on and talking to all these lowlifers, buddy.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Appreciate the support you've always shown us, mate. And yeah, excited to get the season kicked off. Boat and truck here ready to go. About to start rigging tackle, and I'll be on Okeechobee tomorrow morning.
Just starting to grind again. Here we go.
Yep, here we go.
Thank you, Carl.
Thanks, mate.
All right, that's all she wrote for the Aussie there, headed to the Bassmaster Classic. I'm so proud of that dude, and I'm so proud to know him. And if you ever get a chance to meet Carl, if you haven't, you see him with fans. He takes his time with them, and he just appreciates everything, man. He does. We did a Boats and Pros a few years ago, like we talked about there. He just a joy to be around is the best way to describe Carl when you get a chance to meet him. So come out and support him in Knoxville there at the Bassmaster Classic. If you're in around Elite Series this year, go up and say hi to the Australian Bass Assassin. I appreciate him coming on, and I appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in this week. Again, we're going to throw down at the Classic. A lot of y'all are messaging me and asking. I'm working on it. I've got a venue just dialed. We're just working through the details right now. It's going to be fun. Some surprise guests. I don't know that we're going to do a live podcast. I think we're just going to throw a party that night, and the live podcast will be in the Express Boats booth. That's what I'm tentatively planning right now. And make sure if you're going to be in Knoxville that Saturday night that you are going to be able to hang out with the Low Lifers, all right? We'll take y'all out with some Biloxi Blues just like each and every week. And we'll see y'all next time.
From Jacksonville to Tupelo, I never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts, well, I'm going to leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to